from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Josh, you in any fantasy leagues yet?
Actually, we just set the date of our draft the other day. It's not till September 1st, though.
Okay.
So I'm still just kind of hanging out.
All right.
I want to do a draft. I might just fire up a mock draft and just have some fun.
I can't do the slow drafts. I know Joe was talking about it.
I don't
Mike
know.
Mike Shope talks about it a lot. The idea of waiting 8.5 hours for my pick, or realistically, way longer,
because yeah,
I'm not first or second. I'm probably in the middle.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't have the patience for it, Josh.
But,
I don't have the patience.
So that's also like you have up to 8 hours. It doesn't mean that you're going to. Like, it doesn't mean that that person is going to take that long.
Because I know I certainly won't. The moment I come up, I've known who I'm going to take for 4 hours.
Well, but that's the thing. I feel like as the draft goes on, it does get faster, right? Like, as long as someone's not doing anything.
Maybe.
Like, if you get a few people in a row that are all online, like, waiting to pick. I've never done a slow draft, though. I've always been interested in them. But, like, every league I've ever done, it's either been an in-person draft or, like, hey, we're going to do this over the phone. So, like, everyone join this group call. And we're going to do the draft right now.
I mean, the in-person ones, if someone takes longer than like a minute and a half, I start getting agitated.
Yeah, the in-person ones are great, though. Like,
they can be fun. They can be a great time.
My buddy does a fantastic job every single year. Like, we've done like full-out like branding for this league. Like, he made like a Twitter account for the league, and we all have our own teams. We all have like logos and stuff. We can buy merch. Like, it's really cool. And
it is my favorite. As someone that's not a part of the league, it is my favorite to see that the random Twitter account will tweet out trade details.
He will dress up in a suit and stand at a podium while we do the draft.
These guys being
it's fantastic. And he'll only announce the first round. Like, it's not like the whole draft is announced by him. Like, he'll just do the first round. And we get like the music and everything, like the little draft noise.
I do love that.
It's so good. We get like a big draft board with the stickers.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome. It's so much fun. I can't wait for it every year. But it's like the only league that I'm in that does that. So I'm like, I want that.
I was just saying, part of you is like, okay, I've got to take that one way more seriously.
Oh, I do. Yeah. No, we don't play for anything. Like, we have a trophy, but like, we don't play for like, you know, some people put like money in and stuff. We don't do any of that. We just play for the trophy and the bragging rights.
Of course.
Like, my buddy has won 2 years in a row. And he has not stopped talking about
it. He's going for the three-peat dynasty.
Anytime fantasy football comes up, he's like, hey, remember that time I beat you and won? And I'm like, yeah.
Thanks, bud.
It's real cool.
Thanks.
And he's like, remember that time the year before where I got a really good trade out of you and then I won because of it? And I'm like, yep.
You're like, I'm just trying to enjoy a round of golf here, man. Like, it's 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Right, exactly. Yeah, no, I can't wait for it. Like, I used to not be into fantasy football at all. Like, I used to just, I never understood it and everything. And I got into it, like, towards the end of college, and I'm all the way in.
And now you're in.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in like 3 or 4 leagues and I feel comfortable with it. I cannot do any of these long drafts or I get out of here with that.
How do you feel about dynasties?
I want to try one of those.
I do too.
I do.
I
want to try one.
I've never done that, but like it seems I'm in a hockey one actually.
Yeah,
and that's fun.
And you seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, but it's a lot more work. And hockey is a lot different than football too.
Oh yeah,
because it's changing every single day rather than once a week.
I want to try that, and I want to try a guillotine league. Then I know Jeremy's done it a lot, our morning show host. He has done that since before I was hired. He had been doing it for a number of years there. So I think it's around 8 years, but he's been doing that for a long time. That's something I really want to try as well, because that seems, again, like those are leagues you'll get me invested in the long run, where with just a single draft fantasy football league, or a redraft, I guess they're called. Yeah, by like week 4 or 5, if my team is bad, I kind of start checking out.
Yeah,
one really makes trades. There's no one really that aggressive on the waiver wire that's going to be that good or that much of a difference.
So I say this when I was in 4 leagues, when I know many people are in a lot more than that, and it's still not enough. But I was in 4 leagues last year, and I was like, this is too many. And there was a couple leagues where I just like let it go by the wayside, because I'm like, I'm falling apart. It's week 4, and I don't care anymore.
My team's a disaster.
My other teams are great. This one sucks, so I don't care about it. It's just going to – I didn't even – like, I had it on like 2 different apps. I didn't even open the app for the other one for the whole season.
I get it. We all pick our favorite children. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I did want to jump on fantasy there real quick, just because for me, to a certain extent, it's not officially, but to me, for a certain extent, this feels like football is starting today. And that is mainly due to the fact that the Houston Texans are the first team of 32 to have both their rookies and vets report to camp. The Bills will do so Wednesday. That's their first practice. It will be next Wednesday, the 24th. But Houston has both the rookies and vets there. They obviously, of course, are taking part in the Hall of Fame game along with the Chicago Bears. Chicago, I think, gets their vets reporting tomorrow or Friday. I'm not sure on that, but it's within this week. And now it kind of feels like football's here. We're even getting news of like contract extensions and trade reports and stuff like that, like Brandon Ayuk. Because Josh, apparently this whole summer, he wasn't like requesting a trade and like flirting with the Washington Commanders. But now he's officially requested a trade. I guess. But on the Ayuk thing, it's been talked about a lot. The Bills have been very much in the wide receiver conversations all offseason. Really, I mean, since January. So it's been a number of months here. It's been about 7-8 months. Ayuk to me, and tell me if you differ here, but Ayuk to me, I think it sounds great in a year, in a vacuum for the Bills. But I don't know how they make the money work. I don't know how they make the compensation work. I don't know how they make the long-term deal work to get Ayuk. I think it'd be really fun in the moment. Mm-hmm. And then like 2 days later, I'd be sitting there going, cool, sweet. So I'm going to have the same offseason in 3 years, if not worse. Because I think the players they would have to potentially let go are better than the ones they let go this year.
Yeah.
The ones this year had a lot of like fan nostalgia because they were part of this group that rose up the Bills from the drought years into, hey, you're really good and competitive, where this group I feel like is just more maybe not more talented, but like potential, or have the potential to be more talented. I think Terrell Bernard has the potential to be an all-pro linebacker for years to come, Pro Bowl linebacker certainly for years to come. Osiris Torrance started every game for you at right guard last year as a rookie.
Oh, he's going to be incredible.
I have great feelings about him. Spencer Brown, I've seen on a number of lists, though, this year of, like, you know, top young right tackles in football who are going to get paid next. He's on it regularly.
He's someone that has to get a little more consistency, but I agree with you. I think it's he's in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
He's just got to take the next step, because that's something we haven't seen out of him, partially because of an injury that happened
in year two.
But I think Osiris Torrance is part of the reason why Spencer Brown became so solid last year. I mean, I feel like since Osiris Torrance has been here, that right side has been locked down.
And it's been fine. There's been no issue. I mean, that I think last year was the best offensive line Allen's had in his career.
Yeah, and they all stayed healthy,
and
too.
And that's not saying a ton. Yeah, they stayed healthy, but it's not saying a ton. I mean, that offensive line at times has been really a revolving good. Door.
Oh, I was going to say
it's had good. Moments where it's been pretty good, but for a lot of it, it's been like, all right, the right tackle's shaky. I mean, year two of Spencer Brown, guard, and, it was kind of an issue. Center's been good, and left tackle, for the most part, has been very good.
Yeah, I mean, Deion Dawkins was on Colin Cowherd's show the other day, and he talked about how, you know, in his entire NFL career, he's never had the same left guard.
Mm-hmm.
Year in and year out, it's been a different guy.
Yeah,
and it's still going to be different this year
because now Connor McGovern,
he's going to center. So, but through it all, Deion Dawkins has been fantastic.
But so on that, you've potentially going to have two of those guys you need to pay very soon. Mm-hmm. You're likely letting the running backs walk James Cook and then eventually Ray Davis if Ray Davis even works out. But then you have Dalton Kincaid you're going to have to pay. We already know they paid Dawson Knox for doing it arguably far less. Mm-hmm. Even in just a single year, then you get to, you know, more guys in the defense, Christian Benford, stuff like
Terrell Bernard.
You're going to have other guys you're going to have to pay coming up here. And if I'm going to pay $30 million to a single receiver at 26 years old and get no cheap years out of him, it does get back to the conversation we had about Von Miller when he was first traded to the Bills or first signed with the Bills, which is, okay, but if you don't win a Super Bowl, it's going to be really painful here pretty soon.
And that's also, like, I look at what Von Miller did this offseason in terms of how they reworked his contract. And he basically took guaranteed money away and said, all right, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to earn that money back. Because a lot of the money hinges on how well he does in the Super Bowl. And that's a big bet on yourself, basically. And, you know, it's intriguing.
And a lot of his money, guaranteed money, you know, the big stuff is the Super Bowl, but it doesn't even start till he has, like, 8 sacks on the year.
Right. Yeah, aside from the postseason, it's like he has to have an incredible regular season. And I'm all for it. If that happens, great.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, like, how are you going to...
Well, I think you can't
justify that money anymore.
But I think then it's where it's okay. Now there's like a nice clean exit stage right for Von Miller and the Bills.
Either
it's not going to kill them to cut him or to trade him or release him, what have you.
Because he has how many years left in the deal?
I think he's got quite a few left.
Well, in terms of, I know they restructured a few times, but.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
But ultimately, so with all that...
In terms of like on the team, he's signed through 2027.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there's a potential out after this season.
Yeah.
So that's important. I mean, even if it's a good year, you could still take that out.
Yeah. But for me, like, that's just where it's with the Ayuk thing is we're just entering the same. We ultimately aren't reaping any of the benefits of cutting down the roster and getting younger. It's just, yeah, we're going to do it again. We're just going to do it all over again.
Right, yeah.
And you already saw with Diggs potentially not aging very well for the Bills. Two seasons in a row really dipping in production in the second half of the season. Now, I think Ayuk's a very good wide receiver, and I think he would help pretty much any team he would go to. But for me, it would have to be then he puts up 1,400 yards again. Mm-hmm. He has to be the number one target for the Bills. And then you also have to still have these jump ups that the Bills are having. And then, yeah, we might be talking about a Super Bowl. And then no one cares. I don't disagree with that. My problem is I don't know how they make the money even work this year. I think they have around $10 million left.
They do.
And cap, and his cap hit this year is about $14.1
million. Yep, $14.1.
So I don't know how they're going to make it work this year, let alone also getting rid of a ton of draft capital likely to get him.
Or a player.
I don't know if they'd have to trade necessarily a receiver to San Francisco to kind of make it work. They did draft two this year, Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing.
But Ricky Pearsall is on
the non-football related injury list.
Yeah. So.
But to make it work, sure. I think ultimately, though, none of this conversation matters. Everything we've just said doesn't matter because the San Francisco 49ers are not going to trade him.
If the trade worked, I would definitely take a year of Brandon Ayuk. That's like your rental player that's mm-hmm. going to help you win now. And, you know, if you don't win, then it's like, man, you gave up all that for nothing. If you get to the Super Bowl, then it's but if you get to the Super Bowl and lose, it's still worth it, but it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And then it's like, all right, well, now what are we going to do? Because we can't re-sign him. We knew we were just going to have him for the 1 year, and we gave up a lot to get him.
But that's my thing, though, too. Ayuk is not – he wants a new contract. He's not just going to play for a new team.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a trade and sign.
It's going to be a lot like what's going on with – is it Hassan Reddick with the Jets?
Yep.
Where it's like, cool, but I wanted a new deal. Like, thanks for trading for me, but no.
Right.
You're going to have that same situation, which is just moronic.
Well, and this is just a larger version of that because obviously Hassan Reddick is a great player, but he's not a 26-year-old wide receiver entering his prime.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the wrong side, or not wrong side, but he's aging into this area where he shouldn't get big money anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously he wants it because he's going to be playing on a team that might not be that good in the New York Jets.
I think he just wants to get paid for the fact that he's had double-digit sacks for four straight years. And where Philadelphia was unwilling to pay him.
Philadelphia didn't have the money to pay him.
Yeah, the Jets seemingly traded for him, and kind of the thought was they were going to do it. They didn't. But regardless, for me, it's more along the lines of San Francisco is a team that has gone through this before already with Deebo Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted a big contract. He requested a trade. It looked like he was going to be out, what have you. And then guess what? He wasn't. They've got to a deal. They figured it out. Honestly, Josh, you know, honestly, my thought process is here. They'll figure out this year. They'll go through some of the bumps and bruises, Ayuk being a little upset, what have you, but ultimately he's going to play this year. And then they'll probably get rid of Deebo Samuel next year to free up money to then pay Brandon Ayuk. Samuel has fallen off in terms of an overall receiver. Ayuk gives you more as the overall receiver. And now they've added younger talent around that wide receiver room. They've drafted two guys so far this year. They'll probably draft another next year, and they move on.
Would you trade for Deebo Samuel?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure. He's 30 years old. He's not really
28.
He's 28.
Making $28.6 million a year.
Yeah.
On the cap.
Not even a debate. He's 28 years old with a lot of wear and tear.
I was just curious because I think that's been
the biggest problem this year is that no one wants Deebo Samuel.
Right. But if we're in this conversation of, you know, wide receivers getting dealt to sign other wide receivers, it's the conversation goes to when should the Bills enter the room? Because in the Brandon Ayuk situation, I think they should be knocking at the door. With the Deebo Samuel situation, they shouldn't even walk towards the door. It's got to be this. That's why, I mean, you know, we all joked about the wide receiver train, and it was a thing that we all did here for the mm-hmm. draft. But it really was kind of important that the Bills take a couple big-name wide receivers in the draft this year, I think. Because, yeah, Keon Coleman's going to be good. I think he's going to help this team a lot. But then you're in the same position next year where you have to draft another guy, which is fine. You can draft another guy, but you almost wish you had two right now so it wasn't as much of a priority next year. Because now it's looking like, you know, hey, Brandon Ayuk would solve some problems in terms of talent that you need on the roster, but you don't have the money to do it.
Well,
whereas if you drafted two guys this year, one in the first round, one in the second round, or one in the first, one in the third, mm-hmm. whatever it may be, you wouldn't have to worry. You wouldn't be having this conversation. It'd be, well, we have two rookies, we have two young guys, we really believe in them. You do everything else the same. You build around them with, you know, Curtis Samuel and MVS, and then you just see what happens. But now you're still wondering. There's still a big question mark.
There's a question mark, but it does leave me wondering, have the Bills kind of already done this? Shakir looks very good to the point where we all really like him. He's mm-hmm. young. Kincaid, they draft him. He's considered the best hands of his draft class. Then they go out and they get Keon Coleman. And then to supplement those three young guys, they do add Curtis Samuel, MVS, Chase Claypool. Kind of just a lot of guys to fill roles, potentially get roster spots. Mac mm-hmm. Collins, I guess, if you want him as well.
Yeah.
Then they do have the running backs in James Cook and Ray Davis. You also still, of course, have Dawson Knox. We could be sitting here by week 6 and 7 going, no, they're just fine. They didn't need to add a Brandon Ayuk. I don't think so. I think there is still worries for them. But I think those worries are more still on the lines of we can always get better.
I just think I'm at the point where this roster, as it currently sits, if it's not working, I would be somewhere where it's like, I don't want to pay Brandon Ayuk all this money, but I think you have to.
And I only think that comes in about midway through the season near the trade deadline, where they're at a point where it's a lot like it was last year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the belief that they changed their offense to be a little bit more run heavy, more just kind of found a way to be more balanced because they needed to save a season, to not have a dead season with Josh Allen as their quarterback.
And it was also like we've talked about
it
too.
It was by necessity.
And yeah, Joe Brady's adapting to an offense that's not really fully his. He's just working with what he has.
Yeah.
And
I am
he made it work.
To see what Brady can do because in his one actual season in Carolina, because he was fired in 21. So in 20, he had three receivers around 1,000 yards.
Yep.
He had two just over, and then, which is funny enough, Curtis Samuel with about 820 receiving yards.
Mm-hmm. And it was early on with Curtis Samuel, too.
Yeah, but his quarterbacks were Teddy Bridgewater and P.J. Walker and what have you.
That's the more important team. Yeah, that's the more important part
of
the story.
All of a sudden, so he gets Curtis Samuel again. Khalil Shakir seems really, really good. And then Kincaid, we had Greg Thompson on last week talking mm-hmm. about how even with Diggs on the team in that 13-game run there after the transition from Brady, that ultimately it was he was on pace for like 113 targets. Now
yeah.
with Diggs off the team and him going into a second year, he's just going to be used more in the first half of the season than he was last year. I would be stunned if he wasn't. You've probably got a big-time target there. And again, your quarterback is significantly better. The team around your offensive coordinator is significantly better. For me, I guess it's not great that he didn't use DJ Moore for him to have 1,500 yards, I guess. But as for me, I would much rather with my quarterback having a ton of guys getting involved and everyone's producing rather than one guy that I can put on my fantasy team.
I think that,
but I think that's a yeah. major argument here is that where's the fantasy guy? Where's the number one that I can put on my roster and be thrilled that I have a Bill?
He's your quarterback.
He's your quarterback.
And your tight end.
He's Kincaid.
Yeah.
I think that's a big issue here. Because we've had this argument a lot. Where has a number one receiver, and really only, led to a Super Bowl? It hasn't with great quarterbacks either. Randy Moss never won a Super Bowl. Terrell Owens never won a Super Bowl. Chad Ochocinco never won a Super Bowl. Justin Jefferson has been in one playoff game. Ja'Marr Chase, you can argue. Ja'Marr Chase has gotten to a Super Bowl with Joe Burrow. But they were both on very cheap deals in their rookie years, and now they're not. And also, even with San Francisco, for as great as their offense has been, as great as it's been, they have bungled away two Super Bowls because of quarterback play. All that matters is the quarterback. After that, just put some solid guys around them and hope maybe one of your draft picks develops into like a really good receiver, and you'll probably win a Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs have proven all that matters is having the quarterback, a good head coach to great head coach, and a good defense that gets some stops.
Well,
and I think the Bills' defense has transitioned to that now,
mm-hmm.
where instead of just playing sound football, they're actually going for big plays. They're
right,
actually going for major game-changing plays rather than just playing sound, fundamental football.
And they also have gotten younger. They've gotten a lot younger and a lot more healthy. I mean, Matt Milano's coming off injury. We saw the other day in Jeremy Fowler's piece on linebackers, Matt Milano's still regarded as the third best linebacker in the NFL.
Which I'm excited to see
I love that.
I'm interested to see how much that like actually sticks. He's 30 years old coming off of what seems to be a very serious injury.
Yeah, but I'm nervous about
Milano.
I think he's going to be fine. But the more you talk there, like I said before, if this isn't working partway through the season, I'm one of the people that's probably going to be like, yep, you know, you should have gone for Ayuk in the offseason, but now you can still go get him and just bite the bullet and pay him and figure it out. And I don't want to be that way. I want this to work. I want what the Bills have right now to be what works, because we've seen it with Green Bay. We've seen it with other Super Bowl winning teams, like we talked about last week with, and you just brought up, there's never really been a team with a main wide receiver that has won the Super Bowl.
It has to be a team effort.
It has to be a team effort.
It can't be one
and
guy.
Yes, you can have one guy.
Everything.
You can have one guy rise above the rest. That can be your Dalton Kincaid. That can be Keon Coleman in a few years. Even this year, if it works out that way. But I want so badly for this to work because of the fact that you can keep everyone on the cheap. You can, you know, figure out other things in the long run in terms of Von Miller's money, in terms of, I mean, even a few years down the road now, I mean, it's still, what, 6 years down the road, Josh Allen's next contract. But, like, if you tie yourself to a big wide receiver, all those things start to pile up as you get further down the road here. And I do love the star power. But you
we
can,
all do.
But you can get star power out of just a team. I mean, look at how much people are oogling over the Green Bay Packers because they're just a bunch of guys that were really good in the last half of the season. Sure, Jordan Love gets most of the credit. But when you look at that team, it has been a team effort, and they were solid. They were consistent. They were winning games when they needed to win games. The Bills last year at the end of the season, they were winning games when they needed to win games, and their number one wide receiver in Stephon Diggs wasn't really showing up.
No, he was there for Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid, and James Cook running the ball.
Diggs was there for like three of the games, and I had the numbers last week. I can't fully remember, but I don't think he had over really 150 yards. He led the team in receiving, sure, but it wasn't this, oh my God, look, it's a Diggs game.
I don't want to say you don't need a Diggs, but I think it was Eric Eager that had a great point on this too. It matters more, especially late in the season, who your number two wide receiver is.
But you go on, you get injured.
But if the Bills are not going to have a number, like a true 1,400 yard per season number one wide receiver, and they may, Keon Coleman may develop into that guy. Khalil Shakir may have the numbers similar to Amon-Ra St. Brown. That may happen. I'm not going to bank on it.
That's something I really want to happen.
But if they can have four guys who are all like number two wide receivers, and then Dalton Kincaid being a number one tight end, the offense is better than it was in the last 2 years, where you had Gabe Davis, who had a 50% pop if he was going to catch the ball or not, and nothing after him. And it was had to be Diggs and, at times, Dawson Knox making big plays. That is just simply not sustainable, and why they've run into problems with teams like Cincinnati, especially when they had their two safeties, where all they had to take away Diggs were fine. Yeah. They no one else is getting open for them.
And I'm not trying to make
this. And now
this,
with the Chiefs defense, that was a big problem in that game. It's just that Chiefs defense was a big reason why they went on their run. Why I think if they went up against Baltimore, if the Bills went up against Baltimore, they would have lost. Even with Baltimore shooting themselves in the foot.
I'm also not trying to make this like a bash on Diggs section, because Diggs was great, obviously. But when you look at from when Joe Brady took over after the Denver game, Diggs led one game in receiving, and he had 48 receiving yards. That, granted, it was the Dallas game where James Cook had 179 rushing yards, but you had one game where Diggs led the team in receiving after Brady took over. The other games where you had receivers leading that aren't on the team is just Gabe Davis. He had 105 against Philadelphia, and he had 130 against the Chargers. Everyone else, it was Shakir or Kincaid. And you had a Cook one in there as well. Cook had 83 receiving yards against the Chiefs in the regular season after the bye week.
Yeah.
So it shows that you can do it. You have the guys, all the guys that were doing it last year for you are still on the team. In the big moments when you needed to go on that six game winning streak, you had guys doing it for you, and they're all still here.
And then you add Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman.
And even MVS.
Even MVS. I am interested in Coleman. He is somebody I cannot wait to see or start hearing reports of on the field starting Wednesday, because he is somebody I was not big on in the draft process. Heard from a few draft guys that did like him, namely like Ryan Fowler, who was on with Shelton Bulldog a lot. But just there's a big unknown with this team, but I think they're going in the direction I want the team to start going into. I'm interested to see if it's going to work. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to join me and Josh. What are your feelings as we are exactly 1 week away from the start of Bills training camp. What are you most interested in watching this off or well, this camp season coming up here in just about a week? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show right here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.